Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Speaking Spirit with Kim Griffin and Drew Calley. I am psychic medium Drew Calley, and I'm again here with evidential medium and spiritual intuitive Kim Griffin. We welcome you to our show, Speaking Spirit, which airs every Thursday evening at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's dedicated to all things spiritual. However, we want to place an emphasis on evidential mediumship or spirit communication. Mediumship is the art of communicating with those in spirit to provide a recipient with evidence, information, and messages to provide you with peace, healing, and hope. A medium is a person who connects those in this world with those in the next. Kim and I will discuss various topics related to mediumship for the first portion of the show, and we will be taking calls for live on-air mediumship readings in the latter portion. If you wish to connect with a loved one in spirit, please log on to the chat room and provide your first name along with your area code. The call-in number is 929-477-2551. Again, we want to place an emphasis on spirit communication, not so much on psychic readings. So if you want a spirit communication or mediumship, please log into the chat room and provide your first name along with the area code. Again, the call-in number is 929-477-2551. For Kim Griffin, you can find her at www.kimgriffinmedium.com. And you can find her on facebook.com/Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. I can be found at www.drewcalli.com, D-R-E-W-C-A-L-I. And you can find me at facebook.com/psychicmediumdrewcalli. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's really showing November up here in upstate New York today.
Okay. Well, it's not down here, so.
Yeah, I bet.
It's nice. It was a beautiful day today. 70 degrees and sunny. And there you go. And I'm
cool,
in
Kim.
North Carolina.
Cool.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's the way the sun rolls.
So I think, you know, we do a topic for the listeners out there. We do a topic every week, and then we open up the show for readings. We are going to be doing 90 minutes today. So the topic that I wanted to bring up was how mediumship changed us on a human level and also on a spiritual level. And I guess I'll start off. I mean, for me, because it happened to me later in life, I always consider that a blessing. I feel truly blessed that I was able to live my crazy, normal, chaotic life beforehand and experience the life that I lived without the understanding that I have now, or even if I had a sense of belief, or, you know, either whether it was in mediumship, psychic stuff, or just in spiritual matters, that there was some other higher presence, more intelligent presence. I didn't live like it was the center point of my life. And I think somewhere along the lines, I was in the military in my early 20s or mid-20s. After 9/11, I joined the military, you know, went to combat, came home, started a business, got married, and then all this stuff happened where I had three very close people pass from me. And about a year after that, when that happened, I started cleaning up my life. I stopped drinking, and I had other issues that I worked on. You know, and I was in therapy. I went through a divorce, and I changed a lot of things and cleaned up my life. And when mediumship was presented to me, or presented itself to me, and I was having these synchronistic experiences, and I was having just all sorts of things happen that were just, I want to say the word bizarre. I love that word because that's the only way I can explain it. And it felt like a homecoming to me. And I think when the mediumship started presenting itself to me, my first inclination was like, okay, you know, like, I didn't know, you know, is this something that just stays for a little bit or does it leave? Is it temporary? Did I just get a message for one person? All those kinds of questions. But ultimately, I for that year before it presented itself to me, I was praying every day. I was working on cleaning up a lot of things in my life and keeping it simple. And I just was looking for basically peace. And I was in therapy. I was doing a lot of different things. And I can say that the one big change for me was I remember the feeling of homecoming when this all happened. And I started hearing spirit. I started sensing spirit. I started seeing spirit. And it was just, at first it was a little freaky, but then when it started happening and it became a little bit normal, I didn't know, like, you know, like, am I supposed to live like a monk? Like, you know, even though we feel like people that believe in God or the universe or spiritual things or an intelligence, you know, you know you're being looked after. You know you're being, I don't want to say the word watched. But now it brought in a whole new level. Like, I was like, you know, is someone going to be with me in the shower? Like, you know, so there were all these different questions. And I still get those questions when I do groups today. And they're good questions because I'd never thought about that before. Mm. But now, because I could literally see, sense, or hear them, it was much more prevalent. It was much more relevant to me going, okay, is someone around? Like, I almost felt like it was a little bit invasive. Like, I just didn't know where the boundary was. And so it didn't change anything I did, but I think it changed the way I looked at things. And I would be, you know, when you're in the car alone, you could be thinking some stuff that would be bad or about someone else, or I'd be angry with someone. And I really was so paranoid about my thought process, I think, at first. And then eventually I kind of eased up, and basically it was shown to me or revealed to me that, you know, I have to live a normal life. I have to have a normal life. The more normal my life is, the better my mediumship is. The more comfortable I am with who I am, the better my mediumship is. And it doesn't mean that I get better information, but when I'm more comfortable with myself, I'm more comfortable with the connection. And I can understand the difference between this is a spiritual connection and this is me. And that took a while to kind of to draw a line in between, because everything I was getting was like, oh, is that spirit? Oh, am I supposed to go talk to that person? Am I supposed to give this person a message? So at first, I remember a friend of mine asked me, like, Drew, do you really want to be a psychic mailman? And I was pissed. I'm like, what? I'm like, who the hell are you? You know? And I was, my answer was, yeah. But it's such an unusual concept. And I just remember thinking after that, after being angry at the person, because I was trying to reveal it to people in a very small way. And I didn't want it to seem so fantastical. And so, you know, I thought people would think I was crazy, and some did. But for the most part, if you knew me before, you knew I wasn't making this up, because this was not something I was looking for. I wasn't taking classes on it. It was just, you know, I really felt it happened at the perfect time. So if I fast forward, so after that, after probably the first year of trying to figure out how this works, then I started looking at, why do I want to do this? Why do I do this? Why am I a chosen one, or did I just have an experience that gave me a heightened awareness to keep looking in that direction? Am I special? Am I not? And the reality is, I'm not. I'm just like anybody else. I don't have a bat phone to God. I don't get special information that I'm privy to and nobody else is. What it did was heighten what was already there. And I feel like, you know, when it comes to matters for me, intuitively, I still have to check in with other people. You know, there's you I speak to. There's a couple of other people that I speak to that are intuitive or mediums, or just regular people that don't do this for a living that I trust. And I think that's important, because I need someone to be my backstop sometimes. I can't live in my mind or in the world of spirit and expect that I'm going to get all this guidance. I have to live a normal life, interact with people, have relationships come and go. I have to, you know, have those bad days at work, frustrations in traffic, all that kind of stuff. But what it mainly gave me was a bird's eye view. When I could step, and it happens much more now, but I still get caught up in my moments where, you know, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed, you know, there's all those kinds of things. But when I genuinely step away from whatever the situation is, or whatever's overwhelming me, or the pile that I can't seem to touch or, you know, whittle down. It's kind of like life starts here, life ends here. Where am I in between, and is this the hill I want to die on? You know, and it's kind of like, well, if I'm just here and I'm here at school, so to speak, like, and I don't get to plan the lessons, I just get to play my part, I'm just going to do the best that I can. So it gives me much more peace as a medium, knowing that, and I do feel like when I'm not getting anything, is your connection all right?
No, I'm fine. I'm sorry, that was a piece of paper. Go on.
What I do find is that when I'm not getting anything, like if I'm just going about my day and I'm cutting wood for the winter or whatever I'm doing, I find that I'm usually doing what I'm supposed to be doing. When I'm maybe falling behind on something or I'm off the track a little bit, in the middle of nowhere, I will get the impression from a spirit guide or something like that that will say, you know, you need to take Kim up on this radio show and do it. Or you need to, you know, you need to teach a workshop. Like, I'll get small tidbits, and they're very clear when they come, and I definitely don't ignore them. I'm much better at listening to them now because I can place the difference between what's me and what's spirit. But I think overall, as a human, it's made me more compassionate. But again, you know, there's still times someone cuts me off in the car and I want to get out of the car and smack them. You know, like, I'm just
absolutely
a regular guy. And then there's other times where, you know, but I do get much more, like, I'm a veteran, and yesterday was Veterans Day. And I watched something, it was just a short snippet on Facebook. And, like, the emotions that come, I'm much more sensitive. Definitely much more sensitive. And with that, I don't consider it a weakness. I definitely consider it a strength. But I definitely I feel like, I think in the beginning I used to want to isolate more. But now I really love the interaction with people, with everyday people, because it's really who we are. You know, but it's changed me in so many ways. Like you said before we went on air, it's a really large topic. But I think it's a really good one, because I think people, if I always say this, and I'll say it 100 times, you know, in the next month, that if you knew me before this and you knew me now, I've become changed over a period of time because of my experiences, because of the gifts that Spirit blesses other people with through my mediumship. And sometimes I feel like I get to lease my mediumship, but I have to earn it. And there's a responsibility with that too. I definitely feel much more responsible as a man and as a medium to live my life better. Not perfect, but better. And that can be hard sometimes, because I do deal with difficult people sometimes, whether it's for readings or in groups or just drawing boundaries and things like that, where people want to latch on to the mediumship and kind of use it for their own benefit. Or, you know, what do you think of this? Or do you get anything of that? What does my dad say about that? And it's like, listen, I'm just sitting here having a conversation with you, you know? So I think it's changed me in a lot of ways. And the one of the other major things, I think, with relationships and people is I'm very selective with who I let into my inner world, you know? And I can be cordial and I can be nice, and I love being around people. I'm definitely a people person, but I definitely enjoy my alone time now too, because I feel like I need that to recharge. And as far as, like, the work I do, going from owning a business which was commission-based and financial-based, dealing with banks and people and contracts, and now dealing with spiritual matters and people opening up and unfolding in their own spiritual path, it's just such a contrast, but I need that contrast. Because I just feel like in the beginning, I don't know. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I thought I'd be doing readings all day. I'm just so grateful that I can do a lot of different things, and I get to meet really interesting people and have interesting conversations. And not only do I get to, I get invited into their world on an intimate level, probably in a lot of cases where other people just don't know, even if they're close to them, some of the stuff that we're privy to that they either disclose or spirit will bring up, that needs to kind of be brought to the surface. So, you know, again, I feel like I feel much more responsible nowadays having had the experiences I've had. And I'll shut up for a minute and see if you want to chime in there, Kimmy.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see. Where do I start? Big
From the
topic.
beginning.
Big
Yeah, it
topic.
is.
How did mediumship change my life? How did I look at the spirituality as far as mediumship? I have to say that the spirituality, and I don't want this to turn into a big AA meeting. I certainly don't want to do that. But what I will say is that my spiritual growth, I would say, started when I put down the drink and the drug, and I started to kind of hone in on my own issues. And I was all alone. Like, I was all alone, and I had nobody to thank but myself for it. And and with that, I learned a lot about myself, and I learned how to deal with life on life's terms. And through that journey that I went through my recovery. Now, that was 20 years, almost it would be almost 20 years ago, you know. But through that is when I healed, or I'm still, I can't say that I'm healed. I'm saying that I am in recovery. I will always be in recovery, you know, as long as I don't pick up that first drink. But with that, it opened up a door for me as far as my spiritual beliefs and my renewed sense of God, which I would call God. And you can call it anything you want to call it, whatever your higher power is. You know, I call it God. So, you know, I had the experiences when I was younger, when I was a teenager, in through dream state. And then what happened is, I feel, I don't want to say I was cut off. I don't think spirit cut you off, but I don't think I was ready to kind of deal with any of that. And I believe that once I got better, and once I was emotionally stable, spiritually stable, mentally, I believe that I was able to see it a little bit more clearer, and I was able to accept it for what it was. And I bring up the recovery process. I bring up the program of recovery because, you know, it helped me get out of myself. It felt like spirit was prepping me. And we can't keep something if we don't pass it on. So my recovery of what I was going through or am going through is no good to me if I don't pass it on to the next person, the next suffering alcoholic or drug addict. It's just plain and simple. And with that, I learned the human condition. I understood the human condition, good, bad, and the ugly. It's just the way it is. You know, we don't go into a program of recovery because we were a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. You know what I'm saying? We did a lot of things that, you know, our moral fiber was shredded beyond belief. And yours truly is included in that. But once I started to forgive myself, and once I started to work on myself, and I didn't go to a psychic, and I didn't go for crystal healing, and I didn't go praising the moon or calling in the fairies. What I did was I went into myself, and I really, really worked on myself and did a personal moral inventory. And I had sponsors, and I had people, counselors, whoever I needed to go to work on myself. And I am not dissing, you know, the people that do that type of thing, but what I think sometimes happens in this type of modality is we look for shortcuts. And when we want to heal from whatever it may ail us, whether it's drugs, alcohol, any type of abuse, we really need to go in deep. We really need to do the work. There is no shortcut. There is no, you know, great potion that we can take. There's not, you know. And I bring this all up because it has to do with when I started to really open up, and I didn't really open up. Still getting dreams, still getting that, you know, spirit coming to me. I thought, oh, well, isn't this just a neat little trick in the middle of the night, you know? They're coming to me in the middle of the night. That's great. Okay. Well, you know, now I know that they have passed, and that's, you know, but once I really kind of opened up to it when I was in my 40s, I really understood, because I was acquainted with the human condition and what it can do and what grieving can do, whether it's drugs or alcohol, whether it's grieving over somebody that passed through that as well, passed through, killing them. I don't say killing themselves, but yeah, killing themselves through their abuse of drugs and alcohol, you know. So I feel like all of that, everything that I went through, had prepped me for where I am today and made me understand the human condition, and more so with the grieving process now. It feels like it was steps, you know. It was, we talk about the 12 steps, but really, it was really like steps. Okay, now you're dealing with this. Now you're going to deal with this. Now we're going to give you the grieving people. Now we're going to give you the people that have lost people, you know, and now you can be of assistance of that. I did not doubt for one second that God was in play. I never doubted it for a second, because I saw miracles upon miracles as far as myself. I saw miracles with people that were, I'm not going to really rose color anything. I saw, you know, heroin addicts, prostitutes, people that were on the bottom of society, really. And I've seen them pull themselves up, and I see them, you know, working and walking the walk, and that is right there and then. I know it sounds like it's off topic, but it's not, so just bear with me. But right there and then, I feel there was a spiritual experience within themselves, you know, because God is at work. And so when I got involved in all of the mediumship, I understood that God is always at work with every single one of us. And some of us work with spirit. Some of us work with spirit and not knowing they work with spirit, as far as helping other people, whether it's AA, Al-Anon, whatever it may be, whether it's in a hospital or counseling, whatever it is, you know. So we just happen to have a very animated view of the spirit world versus somebody that may not work directly with spirit. So it really helped me understand how God works and how God works through different people. And I am just, you know what, I'm just another bozo on the bus. You know, like, I've said that about other things, and I'll say that about this. I am just a working medium. That's all I am. And I don't want to say that's all I am. That's what I am. I am a working medium. You have actors, you know, that are working actors, and then you have the superstars and the people that go for the Emmys and the Oscars, you know, and whatnot, you know. But I'm the one of the ones that just pounding the pavement, you know, and just saying, okay, I'm here. Just use me as whatever you feel you need to use me as, you know, that's fine. Because as you know, that when we get in front of people, part of our, it's not all just about bringing in spirit. Sometimes it's sitting there and it's talking to the people, and it's about listening to them, and it's about comforting them, and it's about sharing your experience and your strength in certain areas in your life and what you have been through. Oof. So, wow, that was a lot. So that was a lot. So, yeah. So
but I think you hit a lot of really good points. And I think, you know, there's a couple things. Like, one is, I love the saying, God is everything or God is nothing.
Yeah.
Because I get that now. I don't think I would have gotten that before mediumship. I think it was more like, because I always blamed everyone else for everything that was bad and took credit when everything was good was me.
Mm-hmm.
It was me.
Right.
But really the reality is that, you know, we all, like when we're born, I feel like that's when the healing begins. You know, like we spend the rest of our life putting back the pieces of what didn't go the way we, you know, that we didn't consider perfect, whether it's family of origin, you know, being brought up in a certain type of household or foster care or losing people or abuse or self-abuse, all sorts of different stuff. And I think, and you mentioned a few things, like one is there's no shortcuts And I do feel like for me, you know, the fact that I lived my entire life, what I consider now at this point, looking back, I feel completely blind. Like, I don't even know what it's like to remember. I don't know what it's like to not know at the depth that I actually know that there's a spiritual, there's a spirit world that's always looking after us. And then, you know, I think you said, I wrote down a few things, and one of the things I wanted to touch on was early on too, like, I didn't know what to take seriously and what not. Like, now that I believed in mediumship because it was happening to me, because I'm the biggest skeptic, or I was, it's interesting because people would tell me stuff like, oh, well, you know, you have fairies around you and go out and place your, I had crystals in my house. I have crystals in my office, but like I would put them out on the full moon and they would be cleansed and all sorts of stuff. And I was specifically told by one of my guides, stop with that nonsense. Like, if you're going to use a crystal, we'll clean it. Like, don't worry about it. You know, and, right. and I'm not that big into it anymore, but in the beginning it was fascinating because there was this whole other world of, you know, everything right. from like Edgar Cayce and Atlantis to fairies and elementals and all sorts. And I do believe that we have, there's levels of spiritual understanding. And what I can, only thing I can talk about is my understanding and my experience. And I feel like we're only privy to the information that we receive because it will help someone else individually or collectively. Like, I don't get to ask them, well, what's it like over there? And even if I do, I might get a snippet, but I think that our understanding, it's like trying to explain what a 9-to-5 job is to a dog. And I don't mean to, like, minimize us, but, you know, it's like right. I have my dog Tyler would be like, hey, listen, I got to go to work and I have this lunch meeting at 11. I'm not going to – he's just going to look at me and be like, you know, I'm hungry. You know, and I think that's kind of what it's like. Like, I feel like the more that I know, the more I realize I don't know. And
exactly.
the more that – and when I do ask very specific questions, I feel like I only get what will help – someone else, not if it just helps me. And if I'm really asking for something, sometimes we'll get a little snippet, a little bit, but again, it's just an understanding. It's not like, well, let's sit down and have a talk. It's like
right.
here's an impression of energy that you're, it's like people call it like a download, whatever you want to call it, and I'll just have a little bit of a deeper understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that I know the whys or the hows. It's only my
right.
understanding for the purpose of my life and how I can touch or affect others. So
right.
I just feel like you know, all the things that we have to go through in our lives that lead us to becoming a working medium. And
mm-hmm.
we've talked about this before. I feel like the people that are very young where it happens to them and they go chasing it, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. There's been some wonderful mediums that have happened too early on in life, and that's what they become. But just for me personally, I'm actually really grateful that I had the crazy life that I had before, and that once I started cleaning up my life that this happened, because I feel like I can relate and identify to people so much better, because most people out there aren't walking around doing spirit communication. And I think,
right.
you know, the people that I've met that are very young that get into it, they feel a little bit ostracized, a little bit of an oddball, you know, this and that. And it can really affect your life, not in a good way. It can make people feel like lonely or alone and on the outskirts and that kind of thing. And I just think it's important to state that mediumship in general, I feel like, is a springboard to healing. It's not the end-all be-all. Because it can change, it can be a proponent of change for somebody to spring forward where they were stuck or they were grieving, and it can really, really help with that. But I've seen other people where, you know, people get it almost, they get glued to my mediumship, and they think it's me, and they want to have continuous conversations, or they just want to be around the mediumship. And I know as a medium, we can be magnets because of our energy and that kind of thing. Or people would like, I do remember that being younger, growing up, people would always tell me all their stuff. They would just, I was like this dumping grounds for people's baggage. And so in hindsight, a lot of that makes sense. Now I'm able to put it to good use. And I think you made such good key points that seeing people climb up out of whatever their bottom is. And for me, it was an emotional and spiritual bankruptcy. I didn't
right.
have that in my life. Everything for me was coming out of the military and then, you know, getting married, losing my mom, having an 8-month stillborn, then having my brother-in-law commit suicide, my life was spiraling out of control. I was drinking, I was drugging. And I was like, I still had, you know, you would never know. I had a house, I had a car in the garage, I had, you still had friends that I grew up with. I was making very good money. And then what happened is that I became like a workaholic. I was so glued to getting somewhere, and I got on that treadmill, and for like 5 to 6 years, it's all I did. And when this happened, it was almost like, I almost laughed at how much energy and time I was putting into such nonsense, because I wasn't looking at my, like, if someone asked me, what do you like to do for fun? I couldn't give you an answer. Or, how are you doing? My answer was, well, business is good. You know, it was always like, you know, I'm getting there. Oh, you know, I'm almost there. And then whenever I would get there, the there would move. It was very elusive. I thought if I was making X amount of dollars, that's when I would be king me, I'm there. And I would get there, and by the time I got there, that didn't mean anything anymore. And again, this is all in hindsight. While I was doing it, I was just doing it. I wasn't, I was so oblivious to the bigger picture because I got so caught up. And I think the mediumship, I think, is a beautiful thing because I think people can get so caught up in their day-to-day, I don't want to say nonsense, but their day-to-day nonsense, for lack of a better term, but just their day-to-day stuff, their personal stuff, the tape reel that plays in the mind that continuously tells them that they're not good enough, that you know, they're not there yet, that they can't do this, that they don't deserve it, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like the only solution that ever came to be for me that worked was a spiritual solution. And when I cleaned up my life and I started praying every day and I started doing things for people because it was the right thing to do, not because I was going to get something back, that's when the true reciprocation started happening. And I started noticing that my friends changed, the people I wanted to be around changed, even the music I listened to changed. Things would annoy me that I used to love. I didn't know that I didn't like this or didn't like that because I was just in my pattern and I was going and going and going. And until I kind of stopped and looked around and had other good people to talk to about it that had done their own inner work, whether it was 12-step work or whether it was spiritual work, talking to someone else who went through that, I was just kind of grabbing on the back of their shirt and hanging on. I was looking for a lantern in the dark. You know, that's what I was following. And then eventually, you know, I was able to hold the lantern for other people. But I feel like because I went through my dark period, I feel like it allows me to not cast so much judgment on someone else going through that, but rather maybe I can hold a little bit of a even if I can flicker a match at some point or hold a lantern. And, you know, because I think everybody has to have that lighthouse that they're kind of going for. And it always saddens me nowadays. You know, I get a lot of people that are like, I don't like a lot of gaudy stuff and all this stuff. But the thing is, the only reason that bothers most people that I know and bothered me for a long period of time is because the word association God is so termed with religion and structure and corruption and all sorts of different stuff and bad experiences in Catholic school and all that kind of stuff. And I think the word God is the container and everything in the container. And we don't know where the container ends or where it begins, but we're inside that container. And I just feel like this whole unfoldment, this whole expansive lifetime, this consciousness, all of this that we're living and doing is so much better. And I would rather believe in all this stuff, even though I know it's true, I would rather believe in all this stuff than think that all I do is live this life and then I go into a black, you know, a black abyss and I don't ever think or do anything again. That would be miserable. I would be so freaking miserable. And I mean, that would give me, in my mind, the right to screw anybody over because karma doesn't exist. All that stuff is bullshit. And I think that that's dangerous. And I think that we're better than that. And I think we know better in our heart of hearts. But most times it takes personal trauma or personal bankruptcy on an emotional, spiritual, physical, or energetic or mental level for us to go, okay, now I might see the light. I think you have to – I do believe that you have to see the darkness for what it is in order to kind of be looking in the direction of the light.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I'm off for like 10 minutes, but
that's
you know,
okay. That's all right. You made some fantastic points. But, you know, I also want to stress that not every medium – and I don't know, it sounds like I'm putting somebody down, but – there's not, there's just some mediums that I've met that are not spiritual. They're just not.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know if being spiritual and being a medium really go hand in hand. People would think they would. I would hope that they would. I mean, it would, but sometimes it doesn't.
Do you mean spiritual by the way they think or the way they act? Like they just not, like they're not
by
like
the way
overly
they
nice
act.
And- Yeah.
By the way they act. I mean, anybody can say I'm spiritual, but let me see how you're treating other people. Let me see, you know, the inside of your house as far as what's going on there. I, you know, I'm not a voyager, but you know what I mean. Like, let me see how you're treating your family and your friends, you know, and then I'll make a decision if you're spiritual or not, you know. How are you helping out your neighbors, you know? How are you talking to the clerk at McDonald's? And you know what? This has nothing to do with anything, but you know, a great way, and I would suggest everybody to be a waitress or a bartender or a waiter, server. That I used to tell people all the time, because I did it for 30 years, and I used to tell people, you really know who people are when you serve them, because they don't hide it. They don't hide who they
sure.
are when they're going out to dinner. You know what I'm saying? They don't have anybody to impress. They are not impressing the waitress or the waiter or whoever, or the busboy. They're not. So you see people exactly how they are, you know, exactly.
And I think that's a really good point, because I think people, you know, a smile or pleasantries or just freaking basic manners can really
mm-hmm.
make someone else's day so much better. Like, because if somebody is working somewhere they don't want to be, or they're there temporarily, everybody's going through whatever. And the thing, I love that saying that it's like, you know, you don't know where everyone's at, but you have
mm-hmm.
to trust that everybody's doing the best with where they're at. And
exactly.
where we're at emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically are always going to be different places. So I think it's important. I think that's a really good point, especially like people that maybe to some people do something that's mundane and they have this, you know, I've seen it myself where people, you know, when I was in business, I would go to places with other business people and sometimes it would make me like angry because people would be like, so, well, I'm spending this, so they need to give me that, like those expectations. But when you're dealing with people, I think we have to
right.
automatically assume that they're good people first,
right.
regardless
yeah.
of what they're doing.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, how it changed my life as far as people, I didn't really my friend still, you know, stuck with me, you know, you know, and so my friend base didn't really change, but it did expand. So, you know, I still had the friends I always had, and that I've known for 20, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, you know, my closest friends, you know. So, again, that didn't change. Did they look at me like were they surprised by it? No, not at all. They may have been a little surprised, but they weren't shocked. That's what I'll say, you know. They're like, oh, really? What has this been going on? Well, of course you do, Kim, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And, you know, I have one friend that I've known for years that said, there you go, Kim, waving your freak flag. You know, but, you know, and she used to say to me, how am I going to introduce my new boyfriend to you as my medium friend? I said, you don't introduce him to me as your medium friend. You introduce me to him as your friend. You know, don't worry about it. And if it comes up, it comes up, you know. Yeah. So, you know.
Done a group in New Jersey, like, I don't know, probably like probably 4 years ago. And so I didn't know this, but so at the end, this woman comes up to me. I'm like, you know, you look really familiar. And she was like, yeah. She's like, my name's blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you rest. And I'm like, wait. And I wrestled with her son from when we were like five until like through high school. And I was just like, and it was so weird. So then I ended up getting a Facebook message from him. And he's like, Drew, who would have known? Like all this stuff. And I'm like, I know. He was excited, though, because I had read his mom. And it was just really, it was so funny that I always find it really interesting when people are their reactions. Like you're talking
right.
about your friends, you know, because they're like, well,
oh, yeah.
how do I introduce you? You know, and it's like, what do you mean? Just say, this is my friend Kim.
I know.
Drew. Yeah.
Right. But You know, and but, you know, like I said, but it did also expand, you know, my friendships as well, you know. So it was all a really, really good thing. I'll tell you what things that had changed within myself. I do not tolerate, believe it or not, I don't tolerate negative behavior anymore. You know, what happened with mediumship with me is made me understand that I was responsible for the energy that I brought into the room. Heard that saying 1,000 times, right? But it really did make me understand that. In as far as when I'm bringing it into a reading, if I'm bringing it into a circle that I'm working with other mediums, or if I'm just bringing it anywhere, you know, bringing it into my own home, or just bringing it into a conversation, or whatever, you know, I am responsible for the energy that I bring into the room, but I'm also responsible for what I bring, what I can tolerate from people as well, you know, and I don't tolerate any negative behavior because, it does affect me. It will affect me because we are sensitive, so we will latch on to that.
Yep.
So as soon as I see somebody coming into my life, whether it's a neighbor or somebody that I can't help that's in my life, you know, because they're there, you know, it could be coworker, could be whatever, but I try to be civil as possible as I possibly can. But you know what? I need to have my boundaries, and I'm going to say, you know what? I can't do this because my whole world is, you know, besides my children and my husband, my whole world is my mediumship. You know, it is.
Oh, that's funny. I was just going to ask you that. So, briefly, like, you know, how do you separate your identity as a medium and your identity as Kim?
How do I? Okay.
Yeah, because I know, you know, I'll just speak for me, is that
okay.
I think there's certain times where, based on the mediumship, if things are going really well, I'm in a good place. But if things are, if I have a difficult string of readings, or if I have, or if things really slow down, I can really, really get caught up in that and be like, you know, why is this happening? What did I do? Blah, blah, blah. But as long as I'm grounded in my personal identity, then my spiritual identity as a medium is really for other people. But it can be, you know, it can be tricky. It can be difficult. So I'm just curious.
It can be real, and what I mean by, you know, it is a, I would say it is my world. It's a world that I am involved in now. But I don't identify myself as just the medium. I can't do that. Yes, it is it's probably 100% of who I am, just as a singer, you know, is a singer, and that's what
sure.
she does, you know. But you know, there is going to come a point, like Julie Andrews. You know, I mean, she lost her voice, you know, through illness, but she's still Julie Andrews. You know what I'm saying? She's still that person. She's still that great mother. I can't just cling on to the mediumship 24/7, and I cannot, you know, beat. And I did. I used to do it. You know, like you just said, you know, I used to beat myself up, and I used to take ownership when a reading was not going well. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh my God, life sucks now because I didn't connect with Aunt Emma. You know, it's
but
just
I
like
see
that's
a
ridiculous.
Lot, especially with people like early on, where they're just waiting. It's almost like the rat race of like the business world. It's like, oh, when I get to this point, and when I get to that point, and oh, one more workshop, and oh, if I just do this, and it's like, no, you know, when you can own who you are, how you are, and where you are, that's when your mediumship's at its best.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't attach my happiness to my mediumship. Does that make any sense? I have to find the happiness within. So that's basically it, you know. But I don't know. That's a tricky question. But no,
I know. That's probably an even bigger topic than how does the mediumship affect your life.
Right.
Yeah. But look,
we have a lot of callers.
So
okay.
I just wanted to kind of see if we can move on here a little bit. I just want to say one more time that Kim Griffin can be found at www.kimgriffinmedium.com or on Facebook at Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. And I'm at www.drewcalley.com, or you can find me at Psychic Medium Drew Calley on Facebook. And I just wanted to just plug a few events. I have, if I can find them. Yes. So this Sunday, November 15th, in Saratoga Springs, there's a group guided meditation. I have a few spots left. I keep them relatively small, 12 or less. November 29th, I'm doing a Spirit Messages Gallery, also in Saratoga, at 4:30. There are some spots left, and that is coming up soon. December 5th, I have a Psychic Medium Workshop Level 1, Saratoga. I have one spot left, and the same thing within Pearl River, New York, which is Rockland County or right near Bergen County, New Jersey. There's a mediumship workshop, level one. I have one spot left. And that's really it. I do have a Reiki 1 and 2 training coming up in Saratoga Springs on January 23rd with Gina Clemente. So I just wanted to plug those events. And, you know, I do have some other things going on in Chestnut Ridge, New York, at Evolve Body and Soul. I'm doing some privates. Whether it's healing or readings and things like that. And that's about it for me.
All righty.
Kim, do you have anything you want to share? I know you have the winery.
I have the winery.
You're doing the mentorship.
Next, I'm doing the mentorship through Facebook on Blessings, Love, and Light. I'm also...
So what is that? That's for people looking to develop their mediumship, right?
Correct. So that is free up until January.
Nice.
I'm just letting you
That's
know
great.
That.
You guys can get involved with Kim. I highly recommend it.
Up until January. I'm also doing a Nana Baca, and those are 10 to 15 minute readings. Nana Baca Winery.
Oh.
And that's on Eastwood Avenue in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I do also phone and Skype readings as well. I have a base of people in New Jersey, so there you go. There are the phone readings, so I'm not a novice as far as phone readings are concerned. And people shy away from it.
No, and let me just put this out there for people that if you want to book a 30-minute, 45-minute, or an hour with Kim or myself, you can always go to our websites or you can find us on Facebook and you can book that separately and that you will get the attention that you need. I also do healing, but I know, like Kim just said, when I need a reading, I go through Kim. And there's a few other people, but I can highly recommend Kim. And if you could do Skype or phone, and just so people know, you know, you and I have spoken about this, there really is no difference whether it's in person or by phone.
There is no difference.
And sometimes my phone is better because that person is very comfortable. You don't have to worry about the awkwardness or finding a place and getting there and scheduling a time. Sometimes my phone is actually better or as good, at least, for both people. So I just wanted to say that. Or Skype.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy. And you can wear your pajamas. So.
So we'll take some callers here. So I'm going to be reading first, and I am going to go with, you just put your name in the chat room, and I can't pull the chat room up, so just bear with me a second. And someone just asked if they can ask questions from chat. You can, but I can't guarantee that you get an answer, just because we'll be doing these readings right now. But I want to go with Loretta in the 360 area code. I'm going to pull you through right now. Hi, Loretta.
Hello.
You're with Kim and Drew on Speaking Spirit. How are you?
Hi. Actually, my name's Lori.
Oh, okay. You have Loretta in here, or is that just a tag?
Yeah.
Lori, have I ever read for you before?
You called last week, right, Lori?
Pardon?
You called last week?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Lori, I recognize you. Look, we have a lot of callers, so why don't we do this another week, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, so I am going to take this 515 number, and the last four digits are 3334. Again, it's 515 is the area code, and then it's 3334. Hello, caller.
Hi,
this is Drew and Kim, Speaking Spirit. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your first name?
Jen.
Okay, Jen. So you're looking to connect with spirit, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jen, let me just try connecting with you here first, okay? So just give me a minute. So, Jen, I have a woman stepping forward. and I need to go to some, I don't know if it's brain cancer or cancer, but I keep getting the head and I keep feeling cancer. And I want to say this woman is, do you understand this?
I had a grandmother and grandfather both have brain tumors. I don't think
okay.
they were, we don't know if it was cancerous.
And do you also, but are they passed?
Yes.
Grandmother's passed? Okay. And do you understand mother-in-law in spirit?
No.
Okay, I have somebody here that I want to say there's a degree of separation. Like, it's not mom, but it's, I just feel like it's, if it may be an aunt, but I feel like there's somebody here that I want to say mother-in-law. So I don't know why I'm getting it. So let me just keep going with this. So just give me a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you understand with grandma, there was, and I want to make sure that I'm with you, okay? Now, do you understand that she, I don't know if she was, you know, I don't know why I'm getting this, but I get there's some sort of European background with her, and I want to go to her being somewhat stocky, and
yes.
Do you understand that? And I feel like
yes.
there's something with the, like, I don't know if she had something wrong with her feet, but I keep getting that, I don't know if she wore, like, sneaker shoes, but she keeps showing me these sneaker shoes, and I want to go to my lower legs, like, there's something wrong with my lower legs, like, they either need to be wrapped, or I pulled my socks up high to hide, like, varicose veins. Do you understand that with her?
Yes.
Okay, and now, do you understand that she was an avid reader?
Not that I remember, but it's possible.
I keep seeing her with this short hair, thick glasses, sitting on a couch, legs up, blanket, definitely a dog, and I just keep getting this visual of books around. But I feel like it's particularly at the end. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure? Because I just want to make sure I'm connecting with you.
Yes, she did have a dog.
Okay. Now, did she make quilts?
Yes. She, not necessarily quilts, but she made blankets for all of her grandkids.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. And the interesting thing is, now, I know that there's a man with her, and this man, I want to assume, but I don't want to assume, but I'm assuming it's grandfather, but just bear with me. Now, do you understand the big connection with fishing with him?
Yes, he fished.
Okay. And I don't know why I keep seeing, I don't know if, like, I just keep seeing him in a railroad outfit, like I worked on the railroad. Do you understand that with him?
He didn't work on the railroad.
I keep getting him in, like, literally around or in a train with, like, you know, the conductor hat. I don't know why I'm
uh-huh.
getting that. And I just keep getting this around about what's, like, I just keep getting this. And do you understand the Midwest connection?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is that specifically with him or is that with you?
Both.
Okay. Because as I'm seeing this train go, it's like going to and from the Midwest. Okay. Now, do you understand the name Larry or an L?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I don't know why he keeps talking about the 80s. Is that the age that he passed in the 80s?
No.
I don't know why I keep getting that. I just wrote down here.
He passed in 79.
Okay, that would be close enough for me.
Close.
I would have rather gotten 79. Now, grandmother went first. Is that correct?
Actually, that Larry, their son, did. Then
oh,
the grandfather,
okay.
then the grandmother.
Okay. And it's interesting. Like, I don't know why I keep getting, like, the word Jones. Like, you know, it would be like either, I just keep getting, I keep writing here, J-O-N-E-S. Does that mean something to you? Like, obviously it feels like a last name, but it's like a very common last name.
Yeah, they have a daughter, Joanne, but that's
okay.
Close enough.
No, I can't make Jones into Joanne. So let me just keep working with this. So the big thing, too, is now this is going to be interesting. I don't know why. I'm not a cat person, but I always get cats for people. Do you understand why she's showing – now, somebody is showing me that there's four kittens or cats, but I want to say kittens.
Her son has cats.
Okay, like numerous cats? Because I want to say there's four.
A couple.
Okay.
They had a few that died and replaced them.
Now, is he the one with the aneurysm?
He had a heart, not an aneurysm.
Okay,
but
it was
a
quick.
Heart.
That's fine.
Oh, maybe
so
that
just
was
know
another
that they're. I'm sorry. What's that?
They had another son that died. That was. It could have been an aneurysm.
Now, did one work in business and one not? One worked with his hands. Do you understand that?
Of the sons?
Yes.
Yes, both.
I keep getting something about, one, like, there was a big contrast between the two. Like, either they were total opposites or they did totally different trades.
Yeah, one's a dentist and one worked, like, construction-type work.
Perfect. Okay. So, again, they're just drawing a contrast here. But the big thing is, too, is that do you understand the name Sue or Susie?
My best friend's name's Susie, but Larry's wife was Suzanne.
Okay. But let me just – now, I have somebody's mother-in-law here. Do you know if Susie's mother-in-law is in spirit? Well, that would make sense.
She doesn't have a mother-in-law.
I keep getting this – there's this other woman here that's trying to get through. So let me just.
Oh, I have a cousin, Suzanne. Her mother, my aunt, had passed.
And that was the cancer.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Ovarian cancer.
So just know, because that woman was the first one that I felt, and I didn't feel her again once we started getting into the grandparents and to Larry, but I just feel like her stepping forward, she needs to let you know. And it's so funny. I don't know what this thing is about. There's some sort of somebody, I don't know if Susie has or your cousin has her apron, but she keeps showing me this, like, apron that she always wore with, like, fruit on it or I want to say apricots. I don't know why. But I just keep getting that there's, like, something that was, like, given to her, but it's, like, some sort of cloth or something that this woman used that she's just trying to show the connection there and that she sees her. And do you also understand I'm getting a lot of names. Do you understand the Donald or the Donnie?
No.
Okay. Remember I said that because I just got it again.
On that side of the family, there was a cousin who passed. Her husband's name was Don.
Okay. That same side of the family?
Yes.
Okay. So just understand, I just feel like he's just kind of coming through here real quick. Now, do you understand him being tall with glasses and he's wearing like a baseball cap?
Everything except the baseball cap. I don't know him too well.
I just keep seeing him with a baseball cap. Okay. But I feel like a tall man, I want to wear jeans and like a tucked in flannel or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or a tucked in. Okay, perfect. And he definitely preferred being outside he keeps showing me these boots too. Like he would kind of put on stuff and I don't know if he would work outside, but he just keeps showing me that he really enjoyed things and he definitely smoked too. Is that correct?
I'm not sure on that.
He keeps showing me cigarettes, and I feel like I'm smoking. But I feel like I need to be outside, and I'm always doing stuff. So I just feel like he really, really liked to be busy. And I don't know why he's coming through, but I definitely feel like they're just trying to show you that family is together and that there is no separation on the other side and that it's really important that you understand that in this life because I feel like your whole world has changed recently. Is that correct?
A few changes, yes. a move,
yeah.
A new job.
And I just feel like, I just want to say to you, the one thing that I kind of get, and I feel like this is partially from me just picking this up, is just kind of keep things in perspective. Just keep things in perspective and don't take things so personally. I just feel like you're doing really well with what you have, and it's just important. I'll leave you with, just keep your eye on the prize. There's a lot of love here for you, particularly with the grandparents coming through, and I feel like now it's so weird. Okay, I'm trying to. Do you understand why Grandma would be talking about Natty or Maddie?
There's a Maggie.
Okay. Was it friends with her?
My cousin, her granddaughter.
Okay. I don't know why I keep getting... Okay. So
I
just feel like you're getting a lot
of
shout-outs here to everybody, so I'm sure it's important that you kind of talk to other people and let them know that these... And even if they were giving one or two things, that, you know, Donald came through, that Larry came through, that you're... And I just feel like they are together, and I just keep hearing about fishing with your granddad, all right? And that it's really important. The blankets are really important to Grandma. And it's just really important. It's the little things is what I want to say to you. It's the little things. Don't forget the little things, because it's things that we remember, not the big things. You understand that?
I say that all the time. It's the little things.
Perfect. Perfect. So just know that there is no separation. They absolutely love you, and you are absolutely looked after. And I thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have a... Okay, so I'm going with a 631 is the area code, and the last four digits are 3557. So the area code, again, is 631, the last four digits are 3557. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How are you?
Thanks for taking... Very well, thank you.
I'll turn this over to Kim for you.
Mm. Hi, how are you? What is your name?
Sandra. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. okay, so you want to hear from somebody from the spirit world?
Sure.
Okay. Just give me a second to connect. I'm already getting a female. I feel like she is above you, so I want to feel like a mother-like. She may not be mother, but it feels like mother-like. She's holding her stomach, so I'm feeling like she may have not passed from a stomach ailment, but I feel like she had a stomach ailment. Would you understand any of that so far?
Well, I definitely have females that passed on. Don't think it was stomach-related.
No. I'm not saying she died of a stomach. I'm saying she had a stomach ailment. She did not pass from a stomach ailment, but she had a stomach ailment. So that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling an older woman that is a generation up from you. So I feel like this is mother-like. So this could be mother-in-law. That's what I'm feeling. She's showing me ulcers. She's showing me, like, bleeding ulcers. So I'm feeling like there is something ulcerated in her stomach area. So it could be intestinal or whatever. But I'm feeling like she had major problems with that. I'm not feeling that she died of that. But I do also understand, because she keeps on telling me she's lactose intolerant. So to me, that's telling me that she had stomach problems. Would you understand a woman with problems with that?
Could have been my mom.
Okay.
Yeah,
I definitely
know my mom had peptic ulcers.
Peptic yes, because that's what, yes.
But
my mother also had peptic
know.
Ulcers, and she also had bleeding, well, they're bleeding ulcers. So, okay. Okay, we're getting someplace now. So let me just kind of connect with her a little bit more, strengthen up the link that I have with her. Okay, she's making me feel like she's giving me the symbol of, sisterhood. So she's making me feel that she was feeling her oats when she was younger. Would you understand that about your mother? She feels very, like, she's very curvaceous when she was younger. Would you understand that about Mom?
No, not about Mom, I wouldn't say.
Okay. What I'm understanding about her is that she had a very vibrant personality, that she liked to socialize a lot. Would you understand that?
See, I don't really see my mom that way. She was kind of more quiet.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
And maybe coming in at the same time. Do you have a mother-in-law that has passed as well?
No. I've never
okay.
But
I'm feeling like... I'm sorry?
I said I've never been married, so no mother-in-law.
Okay, that's okay. I'm feeling there's two women that are coming through. So I feel one is connected to your mother. So she feels like a friend, or it could be a sister with your mother as well. So I'm feeling like this woman that is coming through is somebody that was very vivacious, that she's telling me there was a cancerous condition. This is not your mother. This is the other woman. And they're coming in as sisters or sister-like. Would you understand
it's
that?
Probably my mother and her sister.
Okay. Okay. Because somebody is like
her,
likes to, and they're coming
sister.
In at this. They're coming in at the same time. So that's what I'm feeling. And I'm also grandmother's coming through at the same time. And also brother is coming through at the same time. Their brother is coming through at the same time. You got the whole family coming for a family reunion. What can
well,
I tell you?
Their brother's still alive. He's still here.
Okay. There seems to be a younger brother that has passed, or a brother-like. I don't know. I will stick with brother. A younger brother that had passed years ago. Years ago. So I don't know
could
if you're aware of that.
It could have been my grandmother's brother who passed.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Years
feeling,
ago when my grandmother was young.
Right. But I'm feeling he died. He had passed when he was younger. You would understand that. Okay.
Yes,
what I'm also understanding is as they all come in, they're all giving me evidence of who they are. I'm also understanding, I believe your mother's sister always liked to wear hats. I'm feeling like there was a hat reference with her. Would you understand that about your aunt?
I could see that more with my mom, but they did have in that time there were hats, but my mom definitely had tons of hats.
Okay, they're showing me a more rural area where they were from. I'm not saying they're from. It feels more rural than it does. It feels suburban is what I want to say. It feels that way. Would you understand that?
Yes, at that time I think it was more rural.
Okay, I'm also understanding a gun cabinet. So I'm also understanding there was somebody in the family that used to like to hunt as well. I'm also understanding there's very religious. Feels like there's a lot of religious. Symbols around the family as they're making me feel that somebody may have been in the church. Would you understand that?
I think they were all, yes.
I'm feeling like there's somebody that worked in the church. I'm feeling like they worked in the church. And when I say worked, I mean they worked. So I'm feeling there was a nun in the family.
Not that I know of.
Okay, just keep that in mind because they're making me feel. Would you understand the Catholic... Would you understand the Catholic reference?
Yeah, they were all Catholic.
Okay. Would you also understand? I also understand there is. Your mother is making me feel that there are times she makes me feel like she's a soft personality, but there is also feels like there's a. I almost say like a dual personality with her. So I'm feeling like she had to be tough when she needed to be tough, but sometimes it didn't come out correctly. Would you understand that about your mother?
Yeah, definitely. She was definitely, you know, silent strength, I would say.
Okay, but I'm also understanding there seems to be a little bit of difficulty with her. And what I mean by that, maybe her personality sometimes with you, there seems to be a little bit of tension at times when you were growing up. And it seems like maybe she didn't handle it the best way that she thinks she could have. Would you understand that?
Well, yeah, I guess there probably was around when I was like 17 or 18, but that was probably me being more of a jerk.
Okay.
At that age, you think you know everything. And...
Okay. Well, she's also making reference to the cancer condition with her as well. So would you understand that?
No, she didn't have cancer. My aunt
okay.
had cancer.
Okay,
but
so the other one, they're coming at the same time, so it's a little hard,
right.
you know,
yeah.
to kind of separate them.
Cancer.
But okay, she's bringing that through. But your mother is also pointing to her chest as well, so it feels like there is a something to do with the chest. So I feel like there's a kind of breathing issues as well. Who is the smoker?
That was me.
Okay, that's you. Okay, because they're talking about smoking, and they're talking about the red and white pack of cigarettes. So I have to say that as well. I'm also getting an H name, like a Harvey or a Harold, also connected to the family. If you don't remember that, just remember that I had said that.
Okay.
So, okay. I'm also getting a Gloria as well. Seems to be a Gloria, and also an A name. So I'm feeling like an Anne or an Anne Marie as well. Would you understand that?
No.
Okay, I just remember that I had said that. Okay, and she's also talking about how you had to kind of push her out of the house at times too and try to get her social with certain things. Would you understand that? And she's talking about bingo. Would you understand that as well?
Definitely no bingo.
Okay, could have been with the grandmother or the aunt.
You know, honestly, I used to play bingo with them in their house.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Drive,
okay.
So, oh. Yeah, but when I would go there, I'd play bingo with them at the house.
All righty. There you go. There you go. Okay. They're also making me feel that there were real estate matters after they had passed. So they're making me feel that there was property that had to be sold, or there were the matters of real estate that seemed to be a little maybe a difficulty within the family members. Would you understand that?
Yep.
Okay. And so they're also making reference to you and also saying you handled it the best way that you knew possible. Okay. So they're being very diplomatic about this. That the best way you knew possible at the time. Would you understand that? Okay, so they're making me feel like as you reflect on that time, there may have been things that you could have done differently or may have wanted to do differently, but this is the best way that you knew at the time. So there's no reason to feel guilty. So I'm just going to kind of leave them with you for the time being, and thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you. All right, so now we have Carrie 4371. I don't know if that's even a phone number, but that's how it comes up.
Hello?
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, I thought you were a Carrie I knew.
You did?
There's a different Carrie that I thought, I don't know. I just couldn't understand how it's not coming up as a number. Okay, so, Carrie, you're looking to connect with loved ones, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Carrie, have we ever read for you before?
No.
Okay, perfect. All right, so let me just tune in for you, okay? Okay, I have two gentlemen here, okay? Now, one I want to say is Dad. Is Dad in spirit?
No.
Huh. And I need to go with, like, either... Then it has to be Dad's dad.
Yes.
Do you understand that? I want to say he was called like either Papa or Pops. Do you understand that with Granddad?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you understand he was a smoker?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you understand the H initial, like a Henry or something like that?
Yeah.
What you can understand Henry. I just want to make sure I'm connecting with you.
Not the name Henry.
But you can understand the H.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you understand the age of either, I don't know, were you born in 1962?
No.
I keep getting either I always get these two confused. I'm either getting the age of 62 or the year 1962. Do you understand this gentleman would have passed at the age of 62?
No, my grandfather, he died. He was very old. He was like 98.
Okay. I don't know why I'm getting this. Now, you also have an uncle that passed, correct?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay, and this would make more sense for him, too, correct?
Yeah, he just died, like, 6 months
August?
Ago.
Okay, why does he keep showing me August?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Are you sure he passed in August?
Yeah.
You said it was six.
I don't know. Definitely not. I'm out of my mind. Yeah, it was in August.
Well,
yes.
Here's the thing. I just want you to relax. If I get something wrong, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have you tell me no than say yes to something and that doesn't belong there, because it will throw me off track of who I'm really connecting with. And I really like to make sure that I connect and I'm able to give you.
I don't remember what month he died, but it was recent.
Okay,
I'm sorry,
I keep getting
remember.
August, okay? And that was what came up as you said he died recently, before you said the 6 months, or as you said that. So, but that's what I keep getting, and I keep circling that, okay?
Okay.
Now, do you understand the Lutheran connection?
Yeah, I went to a Lutheran school.
Oh, you did? Okay. So let me just – I definitely have this uncle here. Do you understand the beard with the uncle?
Maybe when he was younger. I don't
– I keep getting that. Was he into music?
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Perfect. Okay. I don't know if he played an instrument, but I keep getting this musical feel with him.
He had, like, when he died, he had thousands and thousands of classical music CDs.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But it's funny because he's also showing me that he's a Beatles fan. It's weird. I don't know. Like, it's like he's trying to show me that. But I was hip, too. That's how he's showing me. And you also have a sister, correct?
I do, yes.
Okay. So he's just, I don't know why he's highlighting that, but he's making me feel like that. Now, are you the older sister? Is that correct?
No, I'm younger.
Ah, I don't know why I'm getting that. Is she the one with the two kids, or is that you?
Yeah, she has two kids.
Okay, so I need to go to her. I don't know exactly why. Now, do you understand that, did she give one of the kids either dad's or granddad's name?
No, not the name, but one of the kids was born on his birthday.
Okay. All right. I keep getting I could be wrong on that, but I keep feeling like something was passed. So to me, that's like someone's name went to their first name or their middle name or their initial or something like that.
That I can't connect with because...
That's okay.
They're not the same names. I'm trying to think I don't know.
It's so funny. Do you understand that granddad used to carry cigarettes in his pocket in the front shirt?
Yeah.
Because I keep seeing this, it's like, and I want to put a pen there too, like, or a pen around the shirt. I don't know why. And I feel like, and I don't know if I'm crossing the two between your uncle and your granddad, so just bear with me, but I feel like this person's skin would have been weathered. It would have been outside. He's making me feel like his hands were a little bit rougher. Do you understand that?
That would be my grandfather.
Okay. And it's interesting. He's making me feel like... what a good heart. I got to tell you, I keep getting this with him that there's like he loved seeing the kids growing up. You understand that?
I didn't really know him, but he was kind of abusive.
Huh.
That
would be a no.
Yeah, that part I don't know. Maybe the uncle liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so let me just make sure I'm with you with one or two of these, okay? I don't know why it crosses back and forth, so just bear with me a sec.
Okay. I'm not in a hurry. You take your time.
Yeah, I don't know what to – I keep getting this, and I want to say that I'm with Granddad. So I don't know if he's trying to show me that he has been watching the – like, he just keeps showing me the expansion of a family, and he keeps showing me happy memories when the kids were little. So I'm assuming he's referring to you. And I just keep getting this over and over, like kids playing on the swing set in the backyard. I keep getting that over and over. And also, now, do you understand that Mom's in spirit?
No, my mom, she just went into a nursing home.
Okay.
She might be in spirit soon, I'll tell you that.
No, I mean, only if someone really has Alzheimer's or they're really out of it will sometimes... I don't. Let's not even go
she
there.
Does. My mother has dementia.
Hmm.
Very badly.
All right, well, let me just see, because I definitely have the feeling of a woman here, okay? And do you understand the golden retriever or the brown dog in spirit?
Hmm. No, I don't get that. We had a black and white dog.
Huh. I keep getting this, and I keep getting the name Lucy. So a lot of this you're not understanding. So let me just,
My grandfather had a bulldog.
I thought you were going to say his name is Lucy. let me just back up here. That's all right. I need to go back to your uncle here.
Okay.
Now, was this your mom's brother or your dad's?
My dad's brother-in-law.
Okay, so this is from a different side of the family. And you understand, I mean, I don't know why he keeps showing me this, but he's almost showing me, and again, I don't know if I have these two, I have to have these two confused. Do you understand that this person, that your uncle was either in the Army or the Marines?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just keep getting this feeling from him that there were things that he may not have talked about, because I just keep getting the sense that, like, he was almost introverted on some levels.
Yeah,
but
very.
You wouldn't know that unless you knew him. You understand that?
Oh, he was very introverted.
Yeah. But it's interesting because he's showing me that he could put on, like, a happy face or an outside his circle face, and you wouldn't really know the difference. But as he got older, he stayed away from that. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. And I do. It's interesting. I feel he's very intelligent. I feel I'm very attracted to his mind. He keeps showing me, and I don't know what it is, but it's like there were certain things that he needed to analyze certain things. And I don't know if it's just being over analytical or he. But it's like, and I feel like he didn't really love what he did for a living. But he just keeps showing his mind. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, he was a stenographer.
Okay.
He worked in a court, and he seemed like maybe he was really bored with the job, but it was
that, okay, that would make sense. Why he keeps showing me like he had this, I want to say like brilliant, like he had this very interesting way of looking at things and seeing things and perceiving things, but at the same time, I just feel that it's not enough, and it's almost like my mind is wandering, and it's okay because I can do this with my hands tied behind my back. That's how I feel with him.
Yeah, I could see that about him.
Now, he just keeps highlighting your sister, so I don't know. Now, I need to ask you, is there another kid on the way in the family that's coming in the next month or two?
No.
I keep getting December baby. So I don't know if that's your birthday or what, but I keep hearing it over and over, December baby. So maybe it's next December, I don't know, but I keep feeling the expansion of the family. But I need to talk about the December baby, and he keeps highlighting little kids, like the memories. Please remember the positive memories. He just keeps showing me that over and over. And the big thing for him is that he is just, it's like he just wants you to not worry so much. That's what I keep getting from him is just don't worry so much, but don't isolate. Don't isolate because it's not going to help you. I feel like it's really important that you stay active with your social life and that you pursue the endeavors that you want to pursue, because he's making me feel like outside of work, he did what he wanted to do while he could do it. And he's just drawing a parallel here for you for that. But it's interesting because I feel like a fondness for you, but I feel like a distance. Do you understand that with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like in some ways you understood him, or you guys had some moments together. Like that's how he's making me feel. But he's also making me feel like he's almost showing me that you're surprised to actually hear from him.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's almost like, and that's the way he was. He's like, he's just making me feel like this is what life's about. Like, it's almost like he didn't want things that weren't surprising. I know this is coming out like a little bit jagged, but he's making me feel like he wanted to kind of, I have to say, I never do this, but I need to do this with him. I don't want to say the word regret, but I feel like if he could have done things differently, he would have pursued what he loved instead of what he had to do to get by. Because I felt like once it's like, yeah, he had this security, but he never truly found his rhythm. Do you understand that?
Yeah, he seemed miserable.
And that's what he's making me like. He's just, it's like he just wants to pass that lesson on to you. Like, make sure that you stay you and that you do what you love, because I don't know what else he just keeps drawing two lines next to you. Like, it's like, just learn from him, but know that his heart was always in the right place. But it's up to you to make the choices for you to be happy. And there's a lot of love here. There is a lot of love. And I feel like Granddad came through. I know he just came through, and he was giving me the papa or the pops kind of reference and the smoking. And I know that I was getting your uncle instead of your dad, and it was getting going back and forth. But I feel like he needed to show his presence to let somebody know that he's okay, but more importantly, that your mom is well looked after.
Okay.
All right. And that's really all I'm getting. So I'm going to need to leave you with that and with a lot of love. And just know that by them just coming through, particularly someone that surprises you, it's their way of showing you how much they love you and how important you are, and that it's important that you embrace this life as best you can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so the back and forth with two different people. Love it. So we're about out of time, Kimmy, and I just wanted to say to everyone again who's listening, thank you so much. It's always beautiful to be able to connect with your loved ones and with you, and as we always say, it's not a perfect science, but we do the best we can. And if you want a private reading, either by phone or in person, you can always find Kim at Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. Did I mess that up? Yes.
Kim Griffin.
KimGriffinMedium.com. Facebook. Yes, KimGriffinMedium.com or Kim Griffin Evidential Medium at Facebook. And I'm DrewCalley.com or Psychic Medium Drew Calley at Facebook. And I just wish everybody out there the best. God bless you for listening. And thanks so much. And Kim, thank you.
Thank you. Good night now.
Good night.
Good night.